Welcome to Learning Bible Truth Ministries. I am the founder, host, and teacher, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. Here to teach you Bible truth so you can grow in faith and learn how to walk in God's amazing grace. So get your Bibles, invite family and friends, take notes, and let's learn Bible truth. Good day, Saints. Today is Monday, March the 25th of the year 2024. I am the host, founder, and teacher of Learning Bible Truth Ministries, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. I did. As you guys know, I am extremely busy on weekends. I typically get one day off, and that's on Mondays. I started to share this message yesterday, but I promised myself that when I am extremely exhausted, I won't share a message because I won't make any sense. You guys who work hard understand what I'm saying. Now, before I start this message, I want to be very clear that this is a message coming from love. God loves each and every one of us. This is going to be a tough message. Before we get into this message, let me assure you once again, God loves his children. He only wants the best for us. He chastens us with his words, not with harm. God is not evil. I just shared a three-part series entitled God is Not Evil. You guys can go and listen to it. God loves his children. He chastens us with his words. We suffer. It's because we are living and walking outside of God's will, which is outside of his protection. This is a message that will help you get in line with God's spiritual laws. And I promise you, Saints, your life will turn around for the better. So let's get this truth on the road. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I will be reading verses 13 through 26. This is the New King James Version. And without further ado, I'll start reading. You guys know the routine. You can pause the tape. And when you find the scriptures, press play and we will be on the same page. Amen. All right. Beginning at verse 13, Galatians 5, New King James. For our new listeners, I typically tell you which version of the Bible I'm reading because I switch up sometimes. And if you have a different version, you will see a difference in the wording. That's all. But the meaning will still be the same. And if you follow me and listen to me read through the scriptures, you will definitely understand what I'm saying. Beginning at verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 and 18. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit is the name of the message today. walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. Having contrasted the flesh with love, Paul now sets it against the Spirit. The only way to conquer the flesh is to yield to the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit implies both direction and empowerment. Deciding and making choices according to the Holy Spirit's guidance and acting with the spiritual power the Spirit supplies. To walk in the Spirit, Scripture regularly represents the pattern of conduct of all of our lives, saints. This is where it gets tough, but we are here to learn, right? Amen. The desires of the flesh would mean not just bodily cravings, but all the ordinary desires of our fallen human nature. And we'll get to those scriptures in verses 19 through 21. Now, when Paul said to keep you from doing the things you want to do, Paul acknowledges that Christians, their lives is a struggle, a war between the flesh and the Spirit. Now, the church at Ephesus also had this struggle. You can read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 for your spiritual enrichment. I will not share a multitude of scriptures today because I don't want this message to be extremely long. So you can write down these scriptures and you can study them later. Now, in reference to verse 18, led by the Spirit, the Greek word is ego. It implies an active personal involvement by the Holy Spirit in guiding Christians, and the present tense, if you are being led by the Spirit, of course, shows the Holy Spirit's ongoing activity in your lives. You are not under the law. The Spirit's active presence in believers, in their lives, it shows we are no longer under the pre-Christian system. Okay, so why do Paul mention the law? Well, he was speaking to Romans and Greeks, some who were formerly under the law, and Greeks who are non-Jews who had accepted Christ. Now, Romans and Jews who used to practice the laws of Moses and Greeks who were oblivious of the law or how to walk in grace and not your flesh, they did not know how to walk in their born again, recreated spirit. Now, let's look at verses 19 through 21. Now, to avoid any confusion, Paul tells us about the works of the flesh. Beginning at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident or either clear, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything that Paul didn't mention that can go in this category, of which I tell you beforehand, Paul says, just as I also told you in times past. Mean he wrote another letter to the Galatians. We don't know where that is because we only have one letter. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Now, I told you this message was going to be tough, but it's filled with love. It's designed to get us on track with the will of God by walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Paul describes the works of the flesh. It means actions flowing out of your fallen sinful nature and its desires. Now, apart from the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, These are the actions toward which sinful humans instinctively gravitate. Your flesh will do what it knows how to do if not led by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Engaging in idolatry and sorcery, which is witchcraft, shows a longing to connect with the spiritual realm through human means. They claim to worship God, the people who engage in idolatry and sorcery and witchcraft. They claim to worship God as their goal, but they disregard the correct way of worshiping him, because Christ is the way and the truth and the life, John 14:6. All other ways to God are false. Enmity, strife, etc. Now, people's rejection of God leads them to turn on themselves and destroying relationships between other people. Now, envy, and this is prevalent today, even in the body of Christ. It comes about when people are not content with what God has given them, longing instead for what he has given others. Now, drunkenness and engaging in orgies are examples of how people misuse God's wonderful gifts in destructive and sinful ways, in rebellion against God as the gracious giver of all good things. Now, people in the Old Testament linked wine with joy and celebration. You can read Psalms 104:15 and Nahum, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 8. You can also read John 2:3. Now, when abused, sex also has highly destructive consequences for all involved. Despite being a precious gift for a husband and wife, read 1 Corinthians. Just read that whole chapter. Those who do such things refers to those who make a practice of doing these things as a pattern of life. Now, their outward conduct shows their inward spiritual status, that they are not born again. They are not born of God and do not have the Holy Spirit within them. And they are not God's true children. Because if you had the Holy Spirit within you, the conviction would be so strong, you would not practice sexual immorality. You just wouldn't do it, saints, because the Holy Spirit will be battling with your sinful nature, and your Holy Spirit will overcome that and cause you to change, to do better, to do differently. Now, to assist us, Paul shares in verses 22 and 23 what the fruit of the Spirit are, so that you don't have to struggle. Now, Paul says, since the Galatians were struggling so much with their flesh, he's going to give them an example of how they should walk in the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the works of the Spirit. That's what fruit represents, works. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I want you to think about the fruits of the Spirit right quick. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says there is no law, not a law of God, that is against these works. Oh my. Now, the Spirit fights against sin, not merely in defense, but also in attack, by producing in Christians the positive attributes of a godly character, all of which are clear in Jesus in the Gospels. Love appears first because it is the greatest quality, in that it most clearly reflects or represents the character of God. You can read about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. You can also read about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Let's look at joy. Joy comes in at a close second. For in rejoicing in God's salvation, Now, Christians demonstrate their affections are rightly placed in God's will and his purpose. Now, you can read John 15:11. Peace is the product of God having reconciled sinners to himself so that they are no longer his enemies, which should cause confidence and freedom in approaching God. You can read Romans 5:1-2 and Hebrews 4:16. Now, I heard a well-known preacher yesterday say that living in peace is the secret to living a long life. And I truly believe that. Peace is so powerful. Oh my God, peace can also heal you. Jesus said it in Matthew 5:9. This is the ESV. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, I'm going to read from another translation, Matthew 5:9, one that I typically don't read from. I'll share my reasons after I read it. It says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Now, this is the Message Bible. The peacemakers will be called the sons of God. How powerful is that? Now, I don't typically quote from the Message Bible. I don't recommend that you study or read from the Message Bible regularly. Now, although their translators claim to have translated from the Greek and Hebrew, it reads more like an interpretation of the Bible rather than a translation, and that can be dangerous. Now, reading the Message Bible can deceive you unless you have a good understanding of the scriptures. Now, let's talk about patience. This part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience shows that Christians are following God's plan and timetable rather than their own, and that they have abandoned their own ideas about how the world should work. Kindness means showing goodness, generosity, and sympathy toward others, no matter who they are, which likewise is an attribute of God. Read Romans 2:4. Now, goodness means working for the benefit of others, not ourselves. Paul mentions it again in Galatians 6:10, and I'm going to read that. Galatians 6:10, New King James says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Walking in faithfulness. This is another divine characteristic. It means consistently doing what you say you will do. Consistently doing it. Gentleness. It is a quality Jesus attributes to himself in Matthew 11:29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentleness enables people to find rest in Christ and to encourage and strengthen one another. That's why we should be walking in gentleness. Self-control is the one. Self-control is the discipline given by the Holy Spirit that allows Christians to resist the power of the flesh, which we read in Galatians 5:17. It says, against such things, there is no law, and therefore those who manifest them are fulfilling the law. When you walk in self-control, you fulfill the law more than those who insist on practicing the law and practicing Jewish ceremonies, and likewise more than those who follow the works of the flesh in verses 19 and 21. Now, verses 24 through 26, let's read these. Verse 24 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, again, verse 24 talks about Christ and the Spirit. And along with verse 25, they come together as the source of the believer's life. Christians have crucified the flesh or died with Christ to sin. Now, Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he says this, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul said he has crucified himself to the things of the world. And in Romans 6, verses 4 through 6, Paul says, "Therefore, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him." With who? Christ. "That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Now that the old order of things has passed away for believers, our old sinful selves or sinful nature that belong to that old nature have died as well, so we should pay no attention to our sinful nature. The word flesh should not be understood to mean physical bodies, but fallen sinful human nature with all its desires. That's what the word flesh is talking about. Now in verse 25, "keep step with the Holy Spirit" is a different verb than in verse 16, meaning walk in line behind the Spirit. Now the leader is our new nature or new born again spirit. The spirit that craves to do the right thing. That is our new born again spirit. But bumps heads or wars with our old nature, referred to as our flesh. That's the battle we have. That's the battle we are in every day. Now in verse 26, Paul is specifically referring to attitudes that seem to have become a problem in the Galatian church. You can read verse 15 again. "But these sinful attitudes and actions obviously extend beyond just one Roman province, because the church at Corinth was having these issues, the church at Ephesus was having these issues, and definitely the church at Galatia." Okay, the Galatians were having this issue. Paul has just mentioned enmity, strife, jealousy, and envy as works of the flesh, our old nature in general. That's in verses 19 to 21. Now, this is where we walk in self-control. We can control strife, jealousy, and envy if we walk in love and joy, and we can add peace to that. Now, I know it is hard for most people to hear about sin, living holy, and works of the flesh. But if we want God to turn things around for us, we need to get in line with God's word so he can move in our lives. Now, if you sow to your flesh, you will reap in the flesh. Galatians 6:8 says this in this New King James, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit," check this out, "will of the Spirit reap everlasting life," or either eternal life. "However, if you sow to your spirit, you will not only reap good things, you will reap everlasting life and give God permission to move on your behalf." Paul says in Romans 7:18, this is the New Living Translation, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't." I want to also read this in the New King James Version so you can see that it means the same, but it can be worded differently. Okay. Verse 18, Romans 7, the New King James says, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Now, the battle between your flesh and born again spirit is real, saints. I battle with it every day, but I overcome my old nature the majority of the time because I'm so used to walking in my new nature. I know when my old nature is trying to come out and I just suppress it. If you are walking according to your flesh, you are out of the will of God. You need to know that because in your flesh is no good thing and God is not associated with your flesh. He's only associated and attached to your born again spirit. That's if you are born again. And more importantly, God doesn't reward destructive behavior. Now, when we are first born again, meaning our spirit or new nature, our flesh or old nature is not born again. I want to give you clarity on this. It will continue. I'm talking about your old nature, your flesh. It will continue to do and crave the things it is used to having and doing. Our new nature and old nature are fighting against one another. Now, we must renew our minds with the word of God so we can start retraining our bodies to walk in our new nature. We have to do a retraining, just like you are a child and you begin to learn right from wrong as you grow. Okay, we can overcome our sinful nature or flesh by walking in or practicing the fruit of the Spirit. Paul laid out for us. He laid it out. He made it very clear. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. These are the fruit of the Spirit we need to walk in. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we practice walking in the fruit of the Spirit, our new nature will overcome our old nature. And I'm a living witness. I can share that with you. It is the truth. Our new nature will overcome our old nature if we practice walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, God will not tell us to do anything we cannot do. We can overcome our old nature. Go to Romans chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 5 and 6. This is the New King James. It says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death," talking about Christ, "certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Verse 6, "knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Now, if you can choose to walk in the flesh or your old nature, you can choose to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is what your new nature is craving, which is to do good. That's why it's a battle, saints. You must give in to one of them. We can't serve two masters. If you are struggling with sin, ask Jesus to help. Or yes, ask our Lord and Savior to help. He struggled with temptation, just like we do, but he never gave in to his flesh. That's why Jesus can assist us today. Go to Hebrews. You guys know I don't like to tell you something this deep without giving you the scripture. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll be reading verse 15. This is the New King James. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus may have been 100% God in spirit, but he was also 100% human in the flesh. Yes, because Jesus put on sinful flesh to come to earth to save us. He experienced temptation just like we do, but he didn't sin. Now, if Jesus didn't give in to sin, we can resist sin as well. Having the Spirit of God in us equips us to resist sin. That's if we are born again. If we are going to represent Jesus, we need to walk as he walked. Jesus is the epitome of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't let your flesh rule over you, saints. You have the power in you to overcome your old nature. I will leave you with what Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Paul said, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Or do we? You have learned the fruit of the Spirit, saints. Now let's walk in them. I hope you enjoyed this message. I hope it blessed you. I hope it sparked you to make a change in your life. And I want to bring this to your attention. You didn't hear any condemnation. You heard love, because God is love. I want you to love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your sisters and brothers in Christ. Peace out. I hope you were enlightened by this message. If you have any questions, please send them to talkingbibletruth.cd@gmail.com, or you can use the Q&A. And if you would like to support this podcast, you can donate from the platform you are listening on: Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, and a few more, and contribute an amount of your choice. Or you can send your seed to my Cash App. That's $ Dr. Kamala D. That is $ capital D, lowercase r, capital C, lowercase AMALE, capital D. Anything you choose to send will be greatly appreciated. Now, until next time, remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We as listeners walk by faith and not by sight. I am your host, Dr. Kamala D., rightly dividing the word of truth in peace and love. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you next time.